All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, as you know, it's a holiday.
Yes, it is. Well, I mean,
it's Cyber Monday.
Oh, yeah, when we're recording this, although it's going to be substantially later than that.
Well, then it will be the regular holiday season.
It'll be a regular Monday.
It'll be a regular little Monday, but for now it is Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
And this is, as everyone knows, is my favorite holiday. Mm-hmm. I go all out. I go onto all my sites, put in all my offer codes, put no postman in the offer code to get stamps.com rebucks. I go all out. Yeah. So I got you a gift, and I figured that, this could help. I mean, it's not really determining it. This is, as we mentioned before, sometimes we just determine games. Mm-hmm. But so I got you a gift.
Oh, thank you.
And just to celebrate Cyber Monday.
Okay. Well, I'll just pick up this Amazon box, and I'll open it up. It's just a loose disc of Siberia.
I'm turning Cyber Monday into Siberia Monday. And every year on November 28th, we shall celebrate Siberia Monday.
Fuck.
We'll do Siberia once a year for the remainder of this show.
Yep. for until time immemorial.
Yes, Siberia never dies.
Nope, no, it doesn't.
There's a deadly virus called nanotoxin in it. But oh, that's in the sequel.
Oh, that's when they resuscitate Cyber Jesus.
with the nanotoxin.
Yep.
At the Zach at the Siberia complex. Fuck you, Cole. Don't give me your sad fuck.
I did this to you. Yeah, I did this to you. So this is the opening salvo on this new scheme where we alternate months suggesting a game to each other. Mm-hmm. Where this is officially violence that I have done onto you.
Yeah, this is I'm gonna go as far as to say this is worse than Iron and Blood.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Just saying, it's not a weird brag, but this is a worse game, I think.
Oh, there's no question. But I mean, this is a bad game show, and I wanted to. This is the first one that I've done, and I just wanted to bring the guns to bear. You know,
it's really bad. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross,
and this is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah. So as we kind of alluded to, this is not a game that anybody suggested. Surprisingly enough. This is one that I have selected for us to cover here specifically because I have experience with it.
Not even in just like a burn way. Like we play a lot of obscure games here, but like, I never heard of this.
No.
It's like a Interplay PC classic.
Yeah. So this is Siberia. And it is a hybrid. What's that?
Not to be confused with Siberia.
Yeah.
Like the Arctic.
The Russian thing, or the adventure game that is always on sale that features that girl in the fur coat.
Oh sure.
A different Siberia. This is spelled CYB area. I think Cyb, like Cyb from Dead at 21.
Dead at 21. Yeah. I'm always thinking Cyb.
Yep. it's kind of a hybrid combination adventure game slash kind of action aim and shoot, like point and shoot kind of game. That is meant to be cinematic as fuck, but falls down at every single level because it is an incredibly awkward just pre-rendered 3D walk from node to node, maybe react occasionally to things that are happening, kind of hellscape.
It's got a little bit of like Dragon Slayer to it, to be like the episode that just came out, but like it's got a little bit of that to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to do something in time or you know there are fail conditions.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to kind of call it. So the shooting sections are like rail shooting sections,
right?
For the most part. The adventure game parts, I didn't get to the puzzles or anything, but the game was like widely criticized for having shitty puzzles.
Oh yeah. You didn't get to the point where you had to disarm the bomb underneath your plane.
How does anybody get past the turret section? Like, I don't, like, I tried too.
By getting good, Gary.
That thing goes on for a really long time. And I'm mm-hmm. watching the complete playthrough of it on YouTube. It's 90 minutes.
Yep.
So it is a short game, a very short game, where like I spent what felt like 10 minutes doing this turret section.
Mm-hmm.
Watching pre-rendered like jets and stuff go by, they all explode with the generic explosion from helicopters attack peaceful skeleton realm. Like, that explosion is the only explosion that happens in this game. It happens over and over.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep. Whether the explosion is happening in the sky or in the sea.
Yeah. Yep. Or inside a base, or if it's a human exploding or a jet exploding, it's that explosion. But I couldn't get past it. Like, it just goes on forever, and I eventually just got like hurt too much. There's your companion kind of yells out unhelpful things about where the enemies are.
Watch out, and there's a mine.
Well, those mines fucked me up, man, because like they start out being separate. Like, you're attacking things in the sky, then you're attacking mines, until eventually she says, watch out, there's a mine, but that's timed when a jet does like a path at you.
Mm-hmm.
And the jet's faster, so you have to figure out to attack the jet first.
Yeah.
But by the time I'd done that, I'd just taken too much damage.
Yep. And then you also have to read the radar readout to see where in your field of vision the mine might be, because your turret rotates very, very slowly.
It's very, very slow. Yeah. It's a King's Field. So.
Wait a minute. Did you say King's Field?
No.
Field of Kings?
Oh my god.
Oh boy. That is a callback to a couple of episodes ago. Yeah, the turret is a definite shit show. And so the worst thing is that you do that turret, and then there's a little bit of puzzle solving, a little bit of walking node to node, and then you have to literally fly across Europe in order to get to Siberia, where the Siberia base is. Did you notice the difference in my inflection on that? Because they're different things, but they sound exactly the same, and you have to like pick a path and do like these sub Star Fox missions.
Star Fox is a good way to put it.
Yeah, before you can even like get to the next, like the thing that I really, you know, that nominally I would enjoy about, said I would really like, but like walking around these bases doing like a pseudo survival horror, like instant death kind of stuff, like that stuff is funny. The shoot, I forgot how much shooting was in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you control when you're actually your guy, the adventure game sections, you do control, like, it's like tank controls.
Mm-hmm.
But on the PlayStation version, you don't have a turning animation. You like just, there's no frames. Like, you just switch to facing a direction, mm-hmm. of, like one of three directions. Yeah. It's really weird.
Yeah, like you face whichever node you can get to. And then you just kind of like very slowly walk toward it, as again, it's pre-rendered. It is the Donkey Kong Country of pseudo survival horror kind of games. And this is, it should be noted, like, this is an incredibly early DOS game, if not incredibly early. Like, this is not a game that should have been made in 1992. Both because like, it looks kind of okay, I guess, for that time, if you're grading on a curve, but also, don't make a game this compromised.
Well, it was made in 1994.
Oh, 1994. Like, there's no
reason for this. Like, there's no excuse. Like, it's the DOS version, if you look it up on YouTube, looks a lot better mm-hmm. than the PlayStation version. So, like, when people like this game, is because of those like pre-rendered graphics. You know, it's the continuous, like, don't you want to play a movie problem?
Well, yeah, and to put a finer point on it, like, this is a game that feels like it was explicitly designed to show well in Game Informer or in Game Pro or something like that. Yeah.
But then it came out 2 years later for PlayStation and 3DO.
Yeah, this is a 3DO as fuck game.
Yeah, yeah. It also came out in Europe first mm-hmm. on 3DO, which just kind of feels right. like just
given our prejudices.
Yeah, it's just, that seems about right. yeah. It is really, really, really bad. Extremely bad. Extremely bad game.
Yep. And so you didn't even get to like a third, maybe even a fifth of the instant death stuff, because like when you're walking down the hallway and Gia, which, okay, did they name her after the model, like the Angelina Jolie thing? Gia was a real person who they made a biopic about, starring Angelina Jolie. Gia.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of this Gia.
Tell me more of this Gia.
please explain to me. Is she some kind of leader of your people?
Is she a god that you worship? as heroin dribbles out of her arm. It's a pretty fucked up movie. But no, like when she holds you up, like she holds the gun at your head, which like we're supposed to be working together. I don't know. Maybe,
I died to that because I had no idea it wasn't a cutscene.
Yep.
Like the first, I'm like, oh, this is a dragon slayer part. I need to do something in time.
And literally what it is she says, okay, turn to face me and disarm your weapon. And I thought, fuck, what is disarm weapon? And like, nope.
Yep.
The order is important. The thing.
She said, she says, turn around.
Oh,
but
shit.
You win it by turning to face.
Yeah. Yeah.
super, super weird. Like you don't get shot in the face for doing that, which you should, for not following the instructions.
Yeah.
And then she says, take the gun on the right as you're running, because the base gets attacked. You're going to meet the Santos. Santos is really kind of built up. I'm like,
when are we gonna see Santos?
The Santos factory.
Oh, and you are oh gosh, what's the name of the dude of luxurious pigtails dude who is giving you your mission? Devlin?
Devlin something else.
He's got pigtails like a Dave Grohl's little girl character from the Learn to Fly video. It's crazy. And he is the president of the entire Western world.
Yeah. He's definitely like a guy who they just kind of pulled in to play this part, which is like a cliche joke, but definitely feels like that. Not that like Zach is a good actor either.
Oh,
like
your main
character guy. And like, he's not like the way he is animated, the way he moves and his weird, like skin tight painted, like undercarriage.
Well, his,
there's a lot of like loving shots of him, like getting into a turret, like a gun, or getting into a jet or something that just like show his like painted on butt. thing. It's amazing. Like it's something for ladies.
Also, Tommy. his skin suit is skin toned. Like,
yeah, it's very weird. Like, it's a very, very weird game.
Notwithstanding, he's wearing a visor that makes him look like if Kid Vid could walk.
I was thinking he kind of has a Cyclops feel to him because he's got the visor and he's like real serious and kind of stuffy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he looks like James Marsden. Like he looks like just like a. You know, handsome early 30-year-old
generic human.
Generic person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see why I was playing this. I was like, oh, like, but you know, there, but for the grace of God, go I. Like, I would have picked this up.
Oh yeah.
If I would have seen it, like, oh, like a cool, like an adventure game. I like adventure games. Mm-hmm. You know, I totally would have bought this if I would have seen it.
I mean, John. I've played and beaten this. So the history behind this is, I had a friend. Who was able to get many more games than I did. And he liked space shooter kind of things. And so when I was over at his house, like, you know, doing sleepovers and stuff, he's like, hey, I've got this new game, Siberia. I die all the time in it. I'm trying to, so it was like, okay, he'll do the shooting parts, which I hate. And I will do the walking around, trying not to be chopped up in fan blades in a ventilation shaft parts, which is a puzzle when you get to the Siberia base.
Yeah. Teaming up. Yeah. Well, did you know that they censored it? Like the whole thing with that?
Yes.
They took out the Blade-O-Matic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there was a code on the PlayStation version that you could put in order to see the spray of blood, splash against the wall. Super tame, but you know, that is the world we live in where a man cannot be
in the early 90s.
Where a man can't be chopped immense by a fan blade. Yeah.
Or by Baraka's blade. You know, like any of that whole blood code thing.
You could enter that code and Baraka would come into Siberia and just chop you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Weird.
Crossover. Your guy looks like Johnny Cage.
does. But yeah, like I was really into it because I liked the instant death kind of side of it. Now I can't stand it. But it's like, ooh, what do I have to do not to, why is my plane blowing up? Oh, there are places I can go. Oh, there's a thing on the bottom of the plane. I have a visor that can look inside this by doing an MRI scan. Oh, there's a puzzle to solve with all these different that escalation of like early coal becoming coal.
Yes. In many ways you grew up in Siberia.
You adopted the Siberia. I was born. I was raised in it.
I was raised as a Cybe. it's a step. Like the only thing that I think that makes this game interesting now is that kind of like when it is like a cyberpunk aesthetic, which is really just indoor environments. Like when you're actually flying around, you're just flying around in like stealth cop, you know, stealth bombers. It looks
like. Yeah, yeah. No, it's it is intolerable the amount of time that you just spend like in a cocktail or a cockpit.
Yeah, well, it's highly tolerable the amount of time you spend in a cocktail. But when you're just inside it, like, and your guy's like stupid visor and his like weird butt suit, like that stuff is actually kind of cool. Like the, you know, give me the cyber, like, give me less of the area.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. It's really bad though.
A real bad game. It's so antiquated. I have no idea. I have no idea how this friend like got a hold of it. It feels like this cursed object to me.
They might have like not had tons of options because it's an early like long box PlayStation game, you know. And like if you like shooters, like, you know, at the time there weren't a lot of this kind of thing out there.
This is like in like 1998 or something like that. Like they're
96 is when it came out.
Yeah.
But
when I was playing it, I mean, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So there's tons of stuff in 1998
you could have been playing. You had options.
Yeah, I definitely had options. Yeah. This is the feel of a Dreamcast game to me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I associate that system, like, I mean, well, not like a standard Dreamcast game, but since the standard Dreamcast game tend to be like really arcadey Sega experiences that weren't my favorite thing, I would play a lot of like Blue Stinger and shit like that. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, this does have kind of like a Blue Stinger, and there's a little bit of stingerness to this.
Yeah. It's kind of just a you know, and it's got a little bit of that feel to me.
Yeah.
Like something I would get on that system.
Yeah, so I'm sorry that I sentenced you to a turret fight. I did not remember the turret fight being that long.
It goes on for a very long time.
Yes,
I mean, I could have practiced it and got better at it, but it was very frustrating.
Why would you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this game is more or less just like a shitty movie. So
yeah, I wish that there was an instant win code like in Full Throttle where you could skip that stuff and get to like, I'm doing like weird instant death stealth stuff, because like that at least has the Sierra appeal of like, it's fun to die.
Yeah, you
know,
yeah.
Here's a
new and novel way to watch my avatar get destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can get that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely doesn't put its, you know, it's trying to start in medias res and it just doesn't do it.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
But Zach is a cyber hacker who was brought out of deep freeze in order to break into the Siberia complex.
In the scene I'm watching now, he's walking through a conference room. He just looked at some magazines on the table, and one of the magazines is named Workstation.
Oh, shit, the new issue's out? Damn, I want to hear about the new surfaces. Not the Microsoft services. I mean, literally the things I can place things upon.
Like desk. Just a picture.
Just a popularity contest at this point.
Yeah, fucking desk rag. Always wins. It sweeps the surface. Work Area Magazine would be, if Brain and I ever revised the pitch and we're not business titans, it would be the replacement for Checkbook. Like work surface magazine.
Checkbook is so good.
I originally when we first started doing Patreon, I wanted to do like physical rewards for teenager bags, but it turned out to be too costly, so I only did time intensive, only did a couple, but I wanted to do a mock-up cover of Checkbook at some point. And there's still the idea that we have of doing the pitch catalog, which I think would be really fun, like do like a little like zine style, you know, just an image and little description of all the stuff that came out of it.
Yep.
So maybe someday.
I don't know if there's anything more to say about Siberia.
This is going to be one of those like, so what's in the news style episodes of Abject Suffering.
But just the way that this game ends is you find out what they're working on in the Siberia complex. It's nanomachines, and the government wants them, so you merge with them and you become God and you wake up in the sequel.
Ooh. Helios.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's some kind of good game fact stuff.
Yeah, there is.
It's kind of weird.
This is one of those weird cargo cult kind of cultures that came out of just like, I don't know where these people came from, but they settled in the PC in the PC board for Siberia.
Oh, you'll have to tell. So I have stuff from the PlayStation board.
Oh, the 3DO.
So. Yeah, so you'll tell. We can do some dual end game facts.
Yeah,
because I didn't find that. I found some other stuff.
Okay, so give me what you got.
Because it's not great. Yours is going to be better, I'm sure.
Okay.
Two things, and this is, again, not great, but one of the reviews is titled, this burn, it's so linear, a yardstick would walk up to it and say, damn, you're pretty linear.
I almost made a note of that.
So, like, sick burn, Jeff Hardley. But then also, and this is not a joke thing, it's just kind of like, who the fuck does this? This guy on there Raycon. On a serious note, I just got this game off Amazon for 65 cents. Now that's a deal. Then post later, and the words too good to be true come to mind. I got it, and the damn thing doesn't work. Got my money back, but damn you, Amazon. You got fucking money back?
65 cents. You used 65 cents worth of electricity to get your money back on that.
What are you doing, Raycon? Who does that? That's not GameFAQs Gold. It's just like, these are the Siberia fans. Like, Siberia, you make this type of game interplay, this is the kind of fans you're going to attract.
Yep.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah. But that's like saying to fruit, hey, fruit, you know what? Just by existing, somebody's going to try to return you at the grocery store.
Oh my God. People do that shit when I worked at the grocery store, and it was maddening. Like, you can't return food. But then because it was a shitty grocery store, you could return food. And it's fuck.
These bananas indignity. Turned brown faster than I expected.
That's it. That's always what it is too. It's like, yeah. these went rotten really fast.
Yeah.
Like that is, this literally, like, if you buy a fruit, like, produce is not a contract.
No.
Like, produce is always a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
I just threw away a bag of salad that said it expired on the 27th. That was wilted and disgusting by the 26th. It just happens.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to bring a bag of rotting liquidy lettuce to the store and be like, give me my $1.99 back.
Moments snap together like magnets. There's nothing we can account for. Come on. So here's the thing. If produce goes bad under my watch, all I do is feel bad that I didn't eat the produce fast enough.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
So here's mine. This is from the PC board, somebody who wrote a topic called Wow Memories, which I think, wow, memories. Like, just kind of looking back on their life. This is Kimar 7856 saying, I remember this game. I could never get past the part where the girl stops you and asks you for something. I got this in 1995 with my first PC. This was 8 years ago. And then pretty soon after that, Random Guy 42 says, awesome.
Always bringing a sense of levity to the things. Random Guy 42.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy's name makes a lot, because it's even 42. Yeah, so he shows a number. He's like, you know,
if there was one more thing, it would be a hat trick.
Yeah, exactly. Like Random Guy 42, 69, I guess. No, 69 is nice. Like, I mean, like,
I think you mean 69 is nice.
Nice. I'm in favor of that number. But 42, like, that's a special kind of high school. Well, I mean,
if it was 42 underscore zero, like, oh, it was both 42 and 420.
Oh, that'd be, yeah, multitasker. That's a weird, that 42 thing is, like, that's actually a pretty good joke.
Oh, it is.
In the book. Like, that's actually, like, a very funny joke, and then just people ruined it.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know? I mean, just they took the punchline and just presented it without context.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The punchline takes a long time to get there.
Yes, it does.
Like, in the book, it's like, it is a real buildup to get to that, and that's why it's a funny joke. It's not just a non sequitur.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Shaggy Dog story.
Yeah.
You know?
Random Guy 42 owns Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 2, and is now playing Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn.
Oh.
Good for him.
Good for you, Random Dude 42.
Yeah. But the real action, and there's nothing really especially great, like, this is just a little bit of like anthropology you can do. If you go to the 3DO board for Siberia, it looks like, again, almost like in a Phantasy Star 3 kind of way, like the Parmanians, they cut off an escape pod and they landed right here in this place. They have three topics called derp topics. The first of which got up to 28 pages. There's another one that says, this looks like an interesting board that got up to 51 pages. Eventually, after all of these, it is just these people asking for like the old leaders of these of this group to come back. I remember this board. Now let's see if Yoshi or Key see it. And Keyblade, Keyblade 999 comes back. Yoshi isn't back. Cream of Justice really wants Yoshi. Yoshi, get in here. Yoshi, get in here. And then Yoshi Chow says, I forgot what system this board was on, but then I realized I could just search the game. Lol. Hey, nerdos.
this is like those Facebook posts of Garfield groups.
What?
Like, that's a thing that goes around Twitter. of the Facebook for Garfield, because it's like the last good and pure community on the internet. Like they're just like, you know, I wonder why Garfield hates Mondays. Probably because he had to go to work that day. Like they just have these like innocent conversations about Garfield. This is what this is like. Like this person, Yoshi Chow, the leader, Google has done so many cool things. I'm pretty sure at one point you could Google let it snow and the screen would fog up and snow would fall. It was super cool. I don't think it still does it. Google is great. Like it's like your old coworker who shares every Google doodle.
Yeah.
You know?
God, I know that person.
Yeah, like it's a popular archetype. But yeah, that's what this seems like. This is like very good natured, derping out.
But I could see. So I love the idea of this unspoken contract on the Garfield board, which is like, hey guys, we're all just coming here to like normie it up. Like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you are anywhere else. Nobody fuck this up. We're going to moderate it with extreme prejudice because what we need to do, we just need a place where we can go and be banal. For fuck's sake, let's just go and be pointless.
I don't know if you listened to it, but the stuff you should know just did an episode on Ham Radios.
Okay.
Did you listen to that?
No, I haven't. This
podcast just repeating that, but I guess that's what ham radio culture is.
Oh, really?
Like it's all about being like very polite and genteel. So like it is this like weird thing where it's like, you know, people collect buttons and pins that say like, hey, I talked to somebody in Taiwan, and they're just like asking how the other people are doing.
Huh.
Like it's like this very polite version of like an internet.
Huh. I'm way down for that.
It's very like I can get it. Like the idea of just being like, I'm going to ask somebody from Taiwan how they're doing.
Yeah.
Like that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah.
You know, but it is just a weird, like it's an anomaly
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Like I'm probably not going to get a ham radio just in order to be polite.
Yeah.
You know? Or have someone be polite to me.
I can be polite most times.
Yeah. And people are usually polite to me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have like this need where I just like need more politeness.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of politeness.
Yeah.
I live in a very polite city.
Oh man. So I don't know that there's anything more. Like that's all the game facts on this. Again, this is just one of these weird little pocket cultures that happen to take root in a game that we decided to cover.
Oh, you know what? I remember something else that's weird about this on game facts. There's two facts for the PS1 version,
mm-hmm.
one of which is written by CJC, one of which is written by Interplay.
Oh yeah, I saw the Interplay one. That was weird, right?
Like it's weird that CJC,
yep,
the game facts guy.
Thanks be to him.
Yeah, please. Thank you for hosting this file. Thank you for giving me a place to put this text file and giving my life meaning. But like, so he wrote one, and then like, there's one like from Interplay. If you click on it, it just shows another Interplay game. Like, I feel like what it was somebody like copied something from an official Interplay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Guide or something. But it gives us an air of weird legitimacy and like ancientness. You know, like. Man, CJ and the actual company did the game fact for this. Like, is this one of the earliest game facts?
I could see it.
Definitely could be, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty strange.
You done anything cool recently?
I had a rough encounter with a hooligan mm-hmm. that I wanted to talk about, even though won't be funny probably. It just, you know, was scary and shitty. Where I was there, like I've been sick more or less since Duckstream, like I've had a cold. And yesterday woke up, hadn't slept very well because I, in my like weird NyQuil fever sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was the having a weird sleep.
The self-imposed twilight prison that you put yourself
yes,
in.
Exactly. I wanted to give myself sleep paralysis, you know, and, somebody knocked on our front door, but it sounded like my room
Ooh.
Door. And that just like did me in. So like, I thought somebody was knocking at my door, which never happens. Like I leave my door open a crack so roars can get in and out. And like, no one ever wakes me up. You know, I don't live with assholes. So like, it like freaked me out. I got up. I was feeling like super shitty. Didn't have any food to eat. Like my blood sugar is going crazy, which happens sometimes, especially when I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
And going crazy, it means like low usually.
Yeah.
So like my blood sugar is low and that makes me nervous and edgy. And I was going out anyway, cause I need to pick up some prescriptions. I walked to a restaurant to eat. And, like this, like kind of gutter punk guy who looked like, the leads, like he looked like the spin doctor, the main spin doctor.
Oh yeah.
Spin edge of surgery.
Yeah. Ginger McPube. Yeah.
Yeah. Except like that guy, but like if that guy had some open sores on his face.
Ooh.
So like, pretty rough stuff. Asked me for money. I said no, because didn't want to give him money, and I don't carry cash with me usually.
Right.
And he like didn't take it for an answer.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm going to break your fucking nose. Like got up in my face and was doing like male bumps, you know, like the male, like
your
shoulder back in the middle of your chest forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like thing, was doing that and then kept like reeling back, like trying, you know, psyching me out and then saying shit because I was like, you know, flinching because involuntary reaction of someone almost punching me.
Yeah.
And was just like really going into it and then just like going off about, how like tell him what like the government knows or doesn't know, and like somehow like thought that I worked for the government because he, you know, clearly unwell,
right,
as a person who was accosting people outside this restaurant. Really sucked.
Oh man, that's
there's no real end to that sentence. It's just like I didn't get hurt.
No, you just walked you walked far enough away that it stopped being a
I went into the restaurant and I got really mad at him because I was like, and again, I'm not in my right mind at this point. It's like, it's, you know, a good thing to ignore. I should just put my headphones in and walked away.
Yeah,
you know, but like, and I you know, he was just like this little kind of little gutter rack, like gutter dude. Like he wasn't gonna actually I didn't actually, like, in thinking about it, I didn't feel like I'm, you know, I don't think it was likely I was going to get accosted, like hurt.
Yeah.
But you know, somebody like doing that, you know, reeling back like they're gonna punch you, you see that, you react.
Yeah, there's a
reflex, you know.
Yeah, there's something built into you.
But I got real mad and I like started yelling at him. I'm like, you know, get the fuck away from me, you know, like
that's a bad dream. That's I've had those dreams where like somebody's fucking with me and it's like gosh, and like in my dream I'm like yelling at them just until my voice goes hoarse, but I know that in real life I'm just like laying there locked to my bed going just, you feel so like, impotent when that happens.
The frustrating thing was that there were like, it wasn't like in the middle of nowhere, like there were people around, you know, and he was clearly like the aggressor, and I was just like, man, why, like this would be great if this guy who's threatening to punch me for no reason, if people were like, you know, hanging out at least, somebody got with their phone or something in case this guy punches me and I need that backup.
Yeah.
You know, be cool if that happened. But I, the thing I said that makes no sense in retrospect, because we talked about this before, we'd get really angry.
Yeah.
As I said, goodbye forever.
And realistically, he lives in your neighborhood. You can probably probably see this guy again.
Well, it's the thing I type to people who are being shitty on Twitter.
Oh shit!
Like if somebody actually gets my goat on Twitter and I'm arguing with them, I'm like goodbye forever, and then I block them. But I couldn't block him in real life because he was just the dude. I wish I could. So that's why I said it didn't make sense, and it just got my adrenaline up. And you know, was like came in and like, you know, the restaurant guy's like, how are you doing? I'm like, you're not great. Like, because the guy came to the door of the restaurant and was like standing at the window, staring up the glass, and was like, you know, yelling at me and stuff. And I was like, yeah, you got some guy out there threatening people. You know, like this is in your house. Take care of this restaurant.
Yeah.
And then, but it was just kind of shaky, like felt shitty all breakfast. And then like, I don't know what the relation is between those two things, but I just felt like my stomach was like garbage for the whole day.
Yeah, just like put you off, like it locked in your pre-meal like sickness.
It was what it felt like. It's like the food didn't do anything. Like I just felt queasy all day. The dangling part of this, like the, I don't know what the PS to it, that is also an interesting story. Is that, you know, 9 times out of 10 I don't have cash on me. I actually had a pocket full of ones because my buddy came up and I went to a strip club. which is also a good story, but like I wasn't purposely like lying to the dude. Like,
right,
if somebody asks me for a dollar and I know I have it, a lot of times I'll give them a dollar.
Yeah,
like if I have dollars in my pocket and someone tries to sell me a Streetwise, I buy it.
Yeah,
you know, like that's, you know,
just,
that's fine,
just you do.
Yeah, it's I'm not gonna miss that dollar. You know, but I was convinced I didn't have the money. You know, because I usually don't. And but I did, because I went to Portland's all vegan strip club.
So okay, let's unpack the title of this. Are all of the strippers vegan, or is all of the food served there vegan?
All of the food there is served, all the food that's served is vegan, and I think they use vegan like cleaning products and stuff. Like they between dances, people would come out and like kind of like sexily wipe down the pole, which was my favorite part of the whole experience, really.
You know what? That like That would
like,
actually
like
be
porn. It's like sex cleaning. Like.
That would be my favorite thing because I really like to believe that these places would be hygienic like that. And so that act of cleaning and preparation is like, exactly. Yes, if we can make it sexy, not only is this a virtuous action, but we're going to throw something in there. Something extra in for you.
For daddy, for cool daddy. Yeah. Like not only is it sexy, but you're not, none of these women have impetigo. Like here we go. So it was like surprisingly like super, super clean. Like the friend who came up and visited, the shorthand for it, he's not nearly this much of a, but there's a little bit of that, like the World's End thing. Like he's a little bit like Simon Pegg in the World's End.
Yeah.
Where he lives a wilder life than I do. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the second total strip club I've been to in my life. I went to the one, which I've told the story before, I'm sure, Night Moves in Indiana, which is, not, you know, it's what it sounds like. It looks like a shitty arcade in the inside.
Yep.
That when we got there, it was early. We went at like 2 p.m. and the bouncer was like,
the day shift.
It was like, guys, like we'll get some girls here for you. Just chill out. We'll get you some girls. like we were like mom, like we were Kane and Lynch and we were going to murder them for not having girls. And gave us 2 free passes to Night Moves, which my friend actually still has his, which I was very jealous about.
Oh yeah.
Because we talked about. But that was pretty scummy and like. You know, seemed like that, and this is a really high quality strip club. Like it was clean. Mm-hmm. And the thing about, and it was also like from an ogling sense, like they're weird things, right? Like mm-hmm. to my mind, you know, strip club to what end, right? Like they're sex workers. I respect what they do. Mm-hmm. There's nothing degrading about it inherently. Like they choose to be here. I live in Portland. I'm sure that they're being treated well. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. There are laws and regulations and you can look around and see just like what is happening around you. Yeah.
Yeah. You can see then there are like, there are tons of bouncers and stuff. Like it is, I have 100%, you know, I respect what they're doing. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to go look at a naked woman and she wants to be naked, that's great. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On a pure, like looking at naked women section, mm-hmm. let me tell you, and this is skeevy. So I'm going to say like a real Ralph Bakshi skeevy horny thing.
Oh God. Let me hold on to my tabletop here just so
get a warning. I'm just saying to people who listen to this, I know there are people who are uncomfortable with this stuff. If you are, this is probably a good time to check out. But like if you go to a strip club and there's a dance where the girl is totally naked and kind of touches herself a lot, uh-huh. that is so much better than if not. Like on eroticism, well, like an eroticism level.
Well, yeah,
it's an order of magnitude.
Yeah, like, yeah, no,
just better.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's I was prepared for you to say like, oh man, when they show you their butthole and they just like hold it open for a little bit.
That's a thing. Like that happens. That's part of this whole this better higher quality standard of quality. Because the other, like, you know, they're just like it's like a boob thing, you know. And the other one I went to, and this one is just like very like. Man, this is adult.
No, I mean, yeah, like I mean, it gets into it gets, you know, not to use like Pornhub tag nomenclature or whatever, but like a solo show kind of thing. Like,
go to browsers.solo.sexclick.co can find this.
I totally agree. Yeah, no, I get you. but like it implies a little bit more of like this is me doing it for me and for you, as opposed to just like I'm gonna stand up here and gyrate a bit.
Well, it was like it was better in that respect. Like the dance moves were better. Like the pole technique mm-hmm. was really impressive. Like they're doing this weird like Cirque du Soleil shit, but nude.
Yeah,
you know, and like
sexier than Cirque du Soleil.
weirdly enough, nothing at all. That's not what happens when Homer's getting the Cirque du Soleil in his face. But the other thing too that is true about it is that like, so my brand at these things, like how I act, because the eroticism aspect of it, it's like this is either like too artificial and weird to be mm-hmm. actually make me horny, or I get horny and then what, you know? Yeah. Like there's no, like there's,
you get horny and there are at least 20 to 30 other people who are also horny right now.
Yeah, I was just saying, like the best case scenario for like going to a strip club thing is like you're like, oh, I'm gonna get kind of worked up and then go jerk off in the bathroom and go home, I guess. Or like you're just making deposits at the spank bank for later, you know. But any of those things are not acceptable.
Well, no, and like, you know, who's, like who's gonna walk into a strip club bathroom and like crank one out? Like you're surrounded by the ghosts of loads past. Like, no.
I bet you there are people who have done, like, I guarantee that like there are loads present as well. And loads
you mean monsters who would put it in the trash can as opposed to flush?
I bet you there are people who have top shelf that shit, but with a number 3, like
top shelf.
I'm gonna get your toilet pregnant. Like, let's do it. but like, so I was trying to think of like what the end game was, right? So when I go to these things, I can appreciate the female form, like no problem, but it doesn't, in this situation, it does nothing for me erotically.
Right, right.
What I ended up doing is talking to strippers and asking them boring logistics questions about their job, because essentially it's like an Uber driver to me.
Oh gosh. No, exactly. And you know what? This isn't a recent development for me. The one time I've been to a strip club, it was on my 18th birthday. Went there at midnight. I've told the story about when I vomited in the strip club because of the cigar we smoked, and also the private dance that I got, which was to Sex and Candy, which is 2 minutes and 38 seconds long. Not what you want for a private dance. That is a very short private dance. Yeah. But as this woman was like playing with the glow in the dark stud inside of her clitoris, like I was asking her about her kids because she mentioned that she had kids.
That's exactly what it was. So that, you know, we're not so different, you and I. So that's what we, you know, that's what I do at these things. I'm not comfortable with people being in service to me.
It's like, so what do you do after this? Like, I'm not asking you because I'm not
just
imposing.
Being conversation, I'm just, like, yeah. I'm at a party. Like, yeah. This is like a work function.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, do you go to bed? Is this the beginning of your day? Like,
I found out that they have an employee manual.
Okay.
I love that. And then I was just like, so do you guys rotate? Like, I was just asking these like logistical questions because I was bored. But the thing about this place, as opposed to Night Moves, is that like
that name will never not be funny.
Yeah, it's really good. I really wish I still had that card. I maybe have it somewhere. Like, you know, you don't ever get rid of old wallets. You just take the cards you don't need and like put the whole thing in a box.
Oh yeah.
Is that the ladies were really funny? Mm. Like, it was like, you know, because my thing is just like, this is gonna be like a waitress or something like that. I'm gonna make jokes because that's what I do.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're desperate for approval.
Well, no, just because I don't know what to do. Like, that's safety, you know. But they were like super funny, and it unlocked something in my head where I was like, you know, so there's like three kinds of people who like go to these things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's the people who actually are erotically charged by it. Mm-hmm. You know, like they go because they want to look at this, and this is like better than porn, and they dig it. And I can, you know, I don't really get that, but like, fine.
Yeah, I can at least wrap my head around it. This is a real person. These are actual situations. There's an exchange happening. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There are guys who go where, like, in their mind, their self-reflection, the image is like, this is the coolest thing a person can do. Mm-hmm. Like, when I imagine, like, hey, man, I just got paid, I'm going to fucking party. Mm-hmm. They imagine themselves at a strip club. And these guys dress like the kingpin, and they show up, and they just kind of, like, you know, throw a lot of money around and feel really, they dress up.
Yeah, they travel with a portable Vegas.
Exactly. Like, that's what they're going for. You know, like, people who dress up. I think that's super silly. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I get it, too. You know, they think they're, you know, but then there's a third person who goes, I think, where like what they want is the experience of
what I want is
going to like a high school, like a party as they imagine them in high school, where all of the pretty girls like want to talk to them. Because if you go to one of these things and a girl's not dancing, she's sitting at the bar, mm-hmm. and you sit down and say like, what's your name?
Yeah.
That's going to lead to like a flirty kind of fun conversation.
That's so me. Oh my God. That is me to a T.
Like, I think that's a real like purpose they serve, right? Like, it's a, like an emotional sex work thing. Mm-hmm. That like I never put that together until this time, where I was like watching, you know, that doesn't necessarily, you know, do it like that. I was making jokes and stuff like that. This wasn't the thing. I would have probably rather have not been there. Like, mm-hmm. this is not the content I crave.
Yeah, you were going there for a friend who was in town.
Yes,
who wanted to do this.
I think wanted that part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think he likes looking at naked ladies. Naked ladies look good, but he just like, mm-hmm. he likes, you know, sitting down and talking, like kind of flirting around and joking with the girls, like, you know. And this is it's like those ponds they stock with fish, you know, that you can just fish very easily,
which, you know, again, like, I'm laughing, you know, I said that's so me. Of those three, I'm probably the person who would rather talk to somebody, not to sound like a fucking beta cuck or whatever, but like, I would also rather not be there. But that is a very apt thing. Like, it's a pond that is stocked with fish, which is an incredibly demeaning way to talk about a person who does sex work. But from a one-sided view of this, like, well, I'm going to go here and I'm going to get something out of this that is different and actually kind of gentler than what is actually happening on stage. There's something in the margins here that I'm looking for.
You're not describing the people, you're describing the service they're providing.
Right, right.
Which is as you know, a fish. Like, you're not saying like those people who stock the pond are nothing but fucking fish to me.
Right.
You know, they're just stocking the pond. Like, it's not, they're not fish.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting though. And like seeing it, like I saw the dudes who were like, I'm dressed as the Kingpin. This is, you know, I've got a bunch of gold chains. Like, I think this is a cool place to hang out. And then there were people who were like, literally just like, oh, that guy looks, you know, like me, like he's, mm-hmm. he's here. He's just kind of like, he's yeah. a little bit nervous. He's just kind of talking. And like, I get that. And it's yeah. like, oh, like this is a good thing. This is a yeah. good service and a good, you know,
additionally this all, I mean, so I, that this happens everywhere. This also feels like mm-hmm. a distinctly Portland experience just because of the infrastructure around sex work in Portland.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is a more positive, less kind of skeezy experience in general here.
Yeah.
Like the one I went to, it looked really skeezy. I walk past it every day. It's real close mm-hmm. to my house.
Yeah.
It looked really skeezy. The inside was like super clean and nice looking.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, very funny thing that my friend did, because one of my, this very, very funny dude. I gave him a copy of Souls of Darkness. Mm-hmm. He went and got a lap dance. Like, we got separated. This was like not the cool part because I went to use the bathroom and he went and smoked and then got a lap dance and left me. Like, that was the worst, like, you know, 10 minutes of the time I was there. I was like kind of looking around for my friend and like girls would come and be like, hey, you looking for something? I'm like, yeah, something very specific. I'm sorry, but you're very pretty. Let's, you know, like, he said the book fell out of his pocket and she like knew the kids books. Like, she knew Worlds of Power books.
Oh shit. Really?
Which is weird. And then he did a thing where he went and got me and he's like, hey, would you sit at the bar reading this? So I got to walk up and talk to him. And then out of my corner of my eye, I got to see a stripper and she was reading Souls of Darkness, which was very surreal and funny.
That's pretty good. Like, your friend gave you a gift is what happens.
Yeah, exactly. That's, and he's thoughtful in that way. Like, he's a very good guy in that he comes up with things like that are very funny and makes them happen. Like, he's a good dude, even though like there is that, like, we've diverged a little bit, but I had a blast like for the weekend. Like, it was really good to see him,
nice.
You know, but it was very funny. And then I think he did this on purpose. He said it was an accident, but I think he got it back from her and then he left it there. So it's possible that Union Jacks in Portland has like a copy. I mean, it probably just got thrown away.
just a house copy of Souls of Darkness.
I really like the idea of that.
By local author Gary Butterfield. It's
very funny. Like, I think that would be, if that's actually what happened, very funny. Because they have their employee manual, which I know they have. And then there's a stripping, like, dancing magazine that's there. There are a couple of copies laying out that are like for staff.
Huh.
It's, you know, it's like an industry magazine. And one of the girls I was talking to, Shy, she was saying how they've asked her to, like, yeah, they want to have me in it, but I don't really want to do that. Like, this isn't a secret that I do this, but I'm not, you know, I'm not ashamed of it, but I also don't need to get involved in the culture that much, you know. And like, had this very earnest conversation of her just like not feeling like doing that. But it was, I just imagine the back room stacked with that magazine, a bunch of copies of the employee handbook that talk about like the rotation and like what kind of not cruelty free like pole lube you have to use, and then a copy of Souls of Darkness, which I think is very funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's man, I was ready. So when you told me about this, because we talk about, like, we say, hey, I've got this thing that happened, you know, this weekend, that if we have a slow time and, you know, in abject suffering, I'll talk about this. I was expecting the strip club story to be fucking depressing, but no, this is actually really good.
It was pretty delightful. Like, honestly, like, I had a good, like, a weirdly good time.
Yeah. Yeah. my only like anecdote is this past weekend was my 10-year high school reunion.
Oh, right.
Which is like, I went to it expecting like, oh, this is going to be kind of crazy. It's like, no, everybody just kind of like got jobs and had kids, and like everybody just kind of calmed down. And it's like, what felt like huge differences back then was just a whole bunch of either A, growing up to do, or B, just completely different priorities that we can like shake hands about and like hear what we've been doing over the past 10 years. I'd actually recommend people go, as long as they didn't experience tremendous physical or emotional violence at that. Like, you know, high school is different for a lot of people. I had a good experience with this reunion. I'm glossing over that because it was mostly just a bunch of canapes and beer. And some people way too into dancing when nobody else was dancing.
That's a weird thing that happens sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm fast forwarding through that to get to the real story, which is at the very end of the night when, you know, we're transitioning to after party. The DJ says, and now we're going to play your class song, More Than a Feeling by Boston. And I was like, wait a minute. What? Oh, fuck. I made our class song More Than a Feeling by Boston.
Yeah, yeah, you told me that was like your prom theme.
No, nope, right? It wasn't the prom theme. I suggested it because of Guitar Hero. And I just kind of like, oh, this would be funny, right? And then it totally got accepted.
There's literally no better potential class song than that, though.
Oh, true.
Like, it is funny, but like, that's actually a good song and is going to age better than anything else.
Photographed by Nickelback?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Or photographed by fucking Filter, or photographed by any song named Photograph, really. Like, yep. Photographed by Weezer. Like,
yep.
it was gonna be better than that. So yeah. Actually, good job.
Yep, there we go. But yeah. I just remember after it won, I was talking with my choir teacher, because, you know, she was saying like, oh well, since that is the since that's a class song, I've got sheet music for that. We could totally sing that at graduation. I'm like, Mrs. Arnold, we really shouldn't. This is a joke that went way too far.
That's very funny.
Yep. And that is my class reunion story. It just hanging out with a bunch of people who look more and more like their parents every day, and remembering the stupid thing I did 10 years ago. Oh man.
So Siberia. thank you, Cole.
Yep.
For suggesting that. Yeah. If you like this show, you can also suggest things. It's not just the show where we do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can suggest things by going to the website, the mm-hmm. contact form, or the widget that's on the website,
yep.
abjectsuffering.com. You can also go to our contact form and do it as well. Is the widget up on the new site?
It is. It's yep. on the about page, but that is going to change here, actually. So either go to the about page or look for a header on there that says suggest a game, either of those.
Yes.
If you use the web page as opposed to the contact form, you're going to be like, that'll get into the system a lot faster.
Yeah. Yeah. It's better. Like the contact form, we get stuff there and it gets lost easier.
Yep.
Even though I don't want to badmouth it, cause it's exactly where we want Woff and
It's where the majority of things go, but like, and items for this show, they go into a database where we randomize and stuff like that, and it is easier to feed stuff directly into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You can also dictate games directly if you're a patron. So mm-hmm. if you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, you can do that.
Yep.
And you're gonna get a bonus episode per month and yep. all kinds of stuff.
If you're listening and you're a backer and you have not responded to that, please go through your email, and if you feel like something is amiss and you didn't get the survey question about it, please let me know. We have plenty of responses, but there are lots of people who haven't responded to it just yet, in the past month or so since we made the change. I just can't hunt you guys down. So
yeah,
just
check your email and you can reach out to us. Don't feel bad about being like, hey, I didn't get the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that helps us. It doesn't hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, you get cool, weird, random stuff from the Patreon. By the time you're hearing this, I'm actually doing it later today. I was going to do it yesterday, except mm-hmm. for I had that altercation with that young, bleeding, sore faced, spin doctor.
That ne'er do well.
can I get your license from Spin Medical School? I do not believe that you, sir, are actually, I'm going to put on a video of me unboxing my, Ravenloft box set.
Oh, nice.
A copy from second edition, because I flipped through it after we talked, did Iron and Blood.
Mm-hmm.
So of interest of this show, and found that it actually like is full of like really, really cool, weird drawings.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to do like a short little YouTube that's going to just be for patrons, of me going through that stuff. So, and I'm going to do, I have like two or three big bookshelves next to me of weird gaming shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a very, low impact thing to do. So expect that kind of stuff from time to time,
yeah.
just for patrons. I want to do something that adds a little value to replace backer blogs, but mm-hmm. also isn't going to take tons of work, and
yep.
I can talk about weird gaming shit.
Yeah. I have a couple of ideas for little videos like that too. So just, watch that. And that is for everybody who backs, not just at a certain level.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is a good, if everybody backed this, who gave us $1, it'd make a big difference. So
yep.
even a little bit helps.
For sure.
Yeah. Ratings, reviews, telling friends, all those things are very useful as well. Yeah, I think that's probably about it.
I think so. Thank you everybody for listening. Please stick around. We've got so much cool stuff planned. Like, I feel like we are doing, I really enjoy the stuff that we're doing right now, and I hope you do too.
Yeah, it's a good time. Good time for the network. Thank you very much. And who is?
Sibdog.
Sibdog? Yeah. Who is Zusib?
1 second. I said something that triggered my Amazon Echo, and it's playing something crazy. Alexa, stop.
I've seen this episode of Black Mirror.